We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
President Dooley, it was almost 10 months ago when a purchase and sale agreement was announced for Wexford Science and Technology's proposed life sciences park in the I-195 district. There's been a lack of visible progress since then. What's your explanation for that?
Well, I can tell you what I know, which isn't a whole lot. I know that conversations are ongoing, and Brown certainly is a part of those conversations, and Wexford and others, about what the first building to go up on that parcel would look like and all the various parameters associated with leasing space in that. Further, I can say that, frankly, the University of Rhode Island has a potential interest in this, and we certainly intend to expand our research space around biomedical biotech in Providence. That's been a goal for ours for a long time. It's especially pertinent to do that now as we build out the new Ryan Institute for Neurosciences in close collaboration with neuroscience research and clinical care at Lifespan Care New England and the research at Brown.
Let me jump in and ask you, because plans initially called for there to be a partnership between Brown and URI as part of Wexford's project. It sounds like that's a little more uncertain now. Is that accurate?
No, I think we're still very interested. I think Brown is still very interested in having us there. There's a lot of synergies that we could both benefit from. And I think Wexford is very desirous of having URI as a part of it. It's the timing of URI's participation, I think, is more the conversation point. Do we go in phase one? And it depends on whether or not they're building laboratory space in phase one. My understanding of Brown's interest is mostly technical and office space in the first phase. For us to go in there, we're looking for biomedical research space. And that's a different kind of building, as you well know, and that the timing is well, when would that space be built?
All right, let's go to Scott.
You know, after all the millions of dollars and all the work on the Common Cause and Race to the Top funding in Rhode Island, are you at the university seeing any improvements in the quality of the students coming out of our local Rhode Island high schools?
First of all, our admission standards are pretty high. And the curriculum that the students have to follow is pretty rigorous. There's been a decrease, obviously, in the numbers of those students as the demographic decline in Rhode Island has continued now for quite some time. Perhaps it's near bottoming out. I hope so. I think the quality of the students that we're admitting out of Rhode Island high schools is stronger than it has been.
Is that because you're taking fewer of them and more out-of-staters?
Well, we're still offering admission to every qualified Rhode Islander.
And you define that, obviously.
And we've defined that by virtue of what curriculum have they taken and what scores they've achieved and how well they've done in high school. And if they pass the bar, they're in. Some programs are harder to get in than others. Mm-hmm. What we're guaranteeing is you're in somewhere, but you got to pass an even higher bar if you want to be in pharmacy, nursing, business, or engineering, for example. What we can say is overall, the student body collectively is getting stronger every year, including this year. The metrics have been steadily increasing in terms of scores, academic profile, grades, etc. And it's becoming more diverse at the same time, about which we're very proud.
To follow up on Scott's question, we know that Rhode Island has a fast-growing Latino population. Many young people in cities like Providence and Central Falls might struggle to pay for the cost of a college education. How is URI lined up to play a role in serving the important education needs of the state's growing Latino population?
That's a very, very good question, and I'm proud to say the following. The University of Rhode Island has, I think, one of the most unique programs in America. It's a program called Talent Development, and about 10% of our entering class total, which is a much higher percentage of our Rhode Islanders, therefore, that are admitted in the talent development programs, between 300 and 400 every year. Those are students that we believe have the capability to succeed at URI, even though they may not hit all the benchmarks we ask for in the regular admissions process. They're predominantly students of low income, and they're predominantly students of color. Our primary bars for entrance into consideration of the program, I'll put it that way, is low income. Those students come into URI. We have a summer boot camp. We have a host of supporting services for them, a lot of advising for them, and we put them into our academic programs. They come out at the other end as engineers and doctors and a whole host of other things. So it's a program we're quite proud of.
We're talking here with URI President David Dooley, and now another question from Scott McKay.
Mr. President, one of the perceptions you hear is that Rhode Island is often cited as the most expensive state for college because of this high student debt rate. We're usually third or fourth in the country. I wonder whether state colleges are getting a bad rap because of the high cost of private institutions. I mean, URI is about the same as UConn in tuition, less expensive than UMass, for example, when you compare it in-state. Or is it a question of needing more fundraising by the university and state scholarship money?
We've actually taken a careful look at all of the peers that we have in the Northeast, actually from Maryland up to Maine. There are two facts that you should know. One, if you're outside of New England, the University of Rhode Island has the lowest non-resident tuition of any any research university in all of New England, private or public. So if you're from Maryland, the best bargain to be found in all of New England is the University of Rhode Island. Here's something else. Rhode Island, the University of Rhode Island, compared to its peer, is now the least expensive for an in-state resident than any other state except Maine. That is, it's less expensive for a Rhode Islander to go to URI than it is for a Connecticut kid to go to UConn, for a Vermont kid to go to the University of Vermont, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, except for Maine. So we think we're very well positioned price-wise in the marketplace. We care about that a lot because we care about student loan debt and we care about affordability and access. So we look very, very hard to keep those numbers as low as we can.
I have a different kind of financial question for you. It seems every couple of years, not uncommonly, voters are asked to approve borrowing to overhaul or improve buildings at URI. Is using voter-approved bonds typical of how states finance university construction? And is there a better way of paying for that?
Actually, I haven't done a detailed study, but Rhode Island is the first state that I've ever known of that requires voter approval in a general election. In most other states, legislative approval and signature of the governor is enough to obligate a state for general obligation debt. That certainly was the case my previous institution at Montana State University. In other words, when we came out of the legislative session there, the legislator approved, the governor signed, we were good to go. The state was good to go to issue the debt. And that, I think, is the practice in most states. So Rhode Island's a little unusual, and it presents an interesting dynamic. I've never thought of myself as a politician, but every 2 years I actually run a political campaign to appeal to the voters for support of the next building project at the University of Rhode Island.
Well, after having had the experience inside Rhode Island and outside Rhode Island, which approach do you think is better?
You know, I think both approaches can work and have worked well. I think doing it the way that Rhode Island does has a benefit that I didn't anticipate when I came, and that is it gives us a good reason to go out every 2 years and promote the University of Rhode Island. And in a small region like New England, that not only produces positive outcomes in Rhode Island, it produces positive outcomes in Connecticut and Massachusetts and everywhere else who may hear it.
We're almost out of time here, President Dooley, but before you go, give us an update on the status of the South Street Landing Joint Nursing Program. There have been some delays with that project. Any concerns, or is that headed toward completion?
I was fortunate enough to have a tour with the Gilbane guys, who are doing a fabulous job on this project, just a couple of weeks ago. Let me tell you this about the project. One, I think we will definitely take ownership of it this spring 2017. We'll definitely have it open full bore, all guns firing in September of 2017. And let me tell you this about it. It will be the most advanced nursing education facility in the entire world the day it opens. That is a truth. And people will be stunned by the quality of the spaces and by the quality of the teaching and learning spaces that are included in it. It will be something that will make all of Rhode Island proud.
All right, you heard it here first. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And the president of the University of Rhode Island, David Dooley.
Thank you, guys.